the headlines. Hamas says a shooting attack in Al-Quds that injured 9 Israeli settlers was a natural response to Israeli crimes and part of the struggle against the occupiers. At least 41 people are killed and over 50 others wounded in a fire inside a church in the Egyptian city of Giza. And North Korea slams the UN chief's comments about the denuclearization of Pyongyang, saying his words lack impartiality and fairness. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumi Shah Ahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. We're beginning this hour with the occupied East Al-Quds, where there has been a shooting incident. At least 9 people are said to have sustained injuries. 3 of them are in critical condition. The pre-dawn incident happened when a gunman opened fire on a bus in the old city of Al-Quds. Israeli officials are branding it a terror attack. Gaza-based Palestinian resistance movements have hailed the attack as courageous. Hamas is calling it a natural response to Israeli crimes against Palestinians and holy Muslim sites. The Islamic Jihad says it is part of a resistance against the occupiers. Last week, a 3-day Israeli assault on the Gaza Strip killed nearly 50 Palestinians. Israeli forces have also recently stepped up raids in the West Bank, killing nearly 60 Palestinians since late March. Over the same period, attacks on Israeli targets have also killed 19 people. From Ramallah, our correspondent Mona Kendall gives us the latest about the shooting attack.
Well, as you have mentioned, at least 9 Israeli settlers were wounded during this anti-Israel operation and shooting that was carried out early Sunday, or after midnight Saturday, in Al-Quds, in 3 different parts of the old town of Al-Quds. A Palestinian opened fire using his gun at an Israeli bus, then an Israeli vehicle in Al-Quds. The Israeli soldiers raided Silwan neighborhood in Al-Quds and other neighborhoods in Al-Quds. They arrested a number of Palestinians, and later the Israeli military said that 28-year-old Palestinian Amir Saidawi from Al-Quds has turned himself to the Israeli soldiers or to the Israeli police after the Israeli troops arrested family members from Al-Quds. He turned himself in, and as well as his arm. According to the Israelis, this Palestinian young man is being interrogated. But according to some Israeli media, they are not 100% sure that he was the perpetrator. However, the interrogation is still going on.
Now in the Gaza Strip, our correspondent Tishraf Shannon tells us how the news of the Al-Quds attack was received in the blockaded Palestinian territory.
Palestinian resistance groups have welcomed the shooting operation in occupied Al-Quds, describing it as a heroic operation. Hamas spokesman Fawzi Barhoum said that the operation Al-Quds is a natural response to the arrogance of the Israeli regime and the crimes of the settlers and the daily attacks against Palestinians. And he also said that the Palestinians are fully aware that only resistance, specifically armed resistance, is the best way to fight the occupation and liberate Palestinian lands. Another Hamas official in charge of the Al-Quds file, Mohammed Hamada, he said that this operation comes in response to the massacre that the Israeli regime carried out in in Gaza over a week ago, and also to the assassination of a Palestinian resistance fighter in Nablus.
Political analyst Barry Grossman believes Palestinians have every right to act in self-defense when they are being constantly attacked by Israeli troops.
You don't have to be an international lawyer. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that if your neighbors, your family members, your people are constantly targeted by men in uniform with automatic weapons who shoot them dead, very often using snipers from a distance, shooting at children who are doing nothing that qualifies as a threat. It's only natural that there will come a breaking point at which people will respond against those who are tormenting them. And we're certainly well past that point. And we're now starting to see acts of armed resistance as matters escalate here in occupied Palestine. And of course, it's only going to get worse. And it's not surprising that what we hear from the opposition is characterization of anything that Palestinians do as terrorism, while they continue to justify their murderous acts, their crimes against humanity committed by their own men in uniform under instructions from the highest level of the occupation government.
At least 41 people have been killed in a huge fire at a church in Egypt's second-largest city, Giza. Most of those killed were reportedly children. 55 people were also injured. Police say an initial investigation blames an electrical short circuit. Some 5,000 worshippers are said to have gathered for mass when the blaze erupted. A blockade and a blocked entrance to the church caused a stampede. Fire services say the blaze is now under control. Egypt's President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi called the incident a tragic accident. In March last year, at least 20 people died in a blaze in a textile factory in Cairo. Iraq's top judicial body rejects a request by top cleric Muqtada al-Sadr to dissolve parliament, a decision which could heighten political tensions in the country. Iraq's Supreme Judicial Council says it lacks authority to dissolve parliament. The body says political groups should not get the judiciary involved in their rivalries. On Wednesday, Sadr gave a judicial body 1 week to dismiss the legislature in order for new elections to happen. Last night, he also called on his followers to be ready for massive protests all over Iraq. Sadr's supporters last month stormed parliament, holding a sit-in inside and then outside the building. The Iraqi parliament has exceeded the constitutional timeline for forming a new government following elections in October last year. North Korea criticizes the UN chief's call for a complete and verifiable denuclearization of Pyongyang during a visit to the neighboring South. The North has dismissed the remarks by Antonio Guterres as dangerous, accusing him of supporting hostile policy of the United States. According to Pyongyang, the UN chief's comments lack impartiality and fairness. North Korea says it is irreversible and the denuclearization of the country could be a breach of its sovereignty. Guterres, who was in South Korea on a two-day visit, expressed his commitment to denuclearization of the North, calling it a fundamental objective to bring peace, security, and stability to the whole region. Washington and Seoul, for a while, raised concerns about Pyongyang preparing to carry out what would be its seventh nuclear test. Thousands of South Korean progressives and unionists have gathered in downtown Seoul to protest against joint U.S.-South Korea military exercises scheduled to begin on August 22nd. Labor leaders call for the end of such drills, warning that the Korean peninsula is inching towards a nuclear war. Frank Smith reports.
Thousands of South Korean unionists and their progressive supporters rallied in downtown Seoul to protest against joint U.S.-South Korea war games planned for later this month. The drills will be the largest in years and follow the May election of President Yoon Suk-yeol, who's promised to take a hard line with North Korea. Union leaders worry about risks.
The threat of nuclear war is growing on the Korean peninsula. Conservative forces of Yoon Suk-yeol in South Korea and those in the U.S. are frantically conducting aggressive war drills in the sky, the land and the sea, and are about to start large-scale joint military exercises aimed at the invasion of North Korea. We must stamp out this behavior of anti-reunification forces.
While many South Koreans, especially supporters of President Yoon on the right, favor close ties with the U.S., large numbers also argue the U.S. military and the country's alliance with Washington prevent the improvement of ties with North Korea and generate tension.
We not only oppose the war exercises, but we want the U.S. forces, Korea, which is actually controlling and interfering with the Korean Peninsula, to leave this land. We believe that only then will the 80 million Koreans from both North and South be able to live peacefully.
The drills will reportedly involve a U.S. aircraft carrier strike group with extensive field training to include amphibious maneuvers. South Korea has also been training alongside U.S. forces with recently acquired American F-35 Joint Strike Fighters. In an effort to strengthen the U.S.-South Korea alliance, military officials from Seoul and Washington will meet to discuss the deployment of U.S. strategic assets and extended deterrence, which refers to the deployment of U.S. nuclear weapons in the defense of South Korea. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Ukraine's president is once again accusing Russia of nuclear blackmail amid a shelling of a nuclear plant, which the two sides blame each other for. Volodymyr Zelensky is warning that Russian troops who shoot at the facility or use it as a cover for their attacks will be special targets for Ukrainian military. The nuclear plant is under Russian control, but fighting around the facility continues, with several shelling incidents reported at the site over the past week. Russia is accusing the Ukrainian army for conducting the shelling, but Kiev blames the Russian military, saying Moscow is planning to cut off power to southern Ukraine. The fighting has triggered calls in the UN by the UN chief, that is, for a demilitarized zone to be created on the facility. The Group of Seven has also urged Russia to withdraw its forces. A huge fire in the Armenian capital Yerevan has left at least one dead and over 20 others injured. The fire has sent towering clouds of smoke over the city center where it began. Still no official word on the cause of the fire, but reports say two blasts ripped through a fireworks warehouse in a retail market. Local officials say there are an unknown number of people trapped under the rubble. Armenian agencies, ministry, and a team of firefighting trucks has been dispatched to the area. In recent years, the United States has fought wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Pakistan, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. And those are just the ones that the Pentagon has officially acknowledged. The actual scope of American war-making is much wider. A new research has revealed that the U.S. has undertaken almost 400 military interventions since its founding in 1776. Until 2019.
How many wars is the United States fighting right now? Well, the answer is zero, as under the Constitution, Congress must declare war, and the last countries that Congress declared war on were Bulgaria, Romania, and Hungary in 1942. 8 decades and what seems to be zero wars. Any countries with such a record must be one of the most peaceful places on Earth. But as history has shown, this is not the case with the US, as it is fighting and has waged wars on many countries across the world. It just doesn't want to call them wars. Over the last 20 years, the US has dropped an average of 46 bombs and missiles on other countries each day. And now, a new study has revealed that more than a quarter of the 400 wars which the US has sugarcoated in terms such as a military-led operation, police actions, or humanitarian interventions have taken place in West Asia and Africa. So it seems that as Americans struggle to address urgent needs at home, their governments have committed them to endless wars in an attempt to support what seems to be one of the key pillars of the US, the military-industrial complex. The
US has tried to be on the first hand, with an image of also being seen as a global policeman, which came and, of course, as some have argued, it's done more harm than good. When you look into the global dominance and production of all these weapons and also use of it in terms of interventions, you see a situation whereby US wants to be the first, to be seen the most powerful nation in the world, to be seen as the one that can intervene and maybe make a difference, whichever difference whose interest it serves. Of course, they will have to define that. It's a bit a gray area. You cannot define it very clearly.
That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
About yourself?
Amir Kishmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of journalism.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, August 14th, 2022. I'm Atefeh Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, or messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, as you may know, are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service, a high-quality service to our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will surely be receiving an electronic QSL card from us, or an EQSL card from us. So here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Anand Mohan from India, Sixten Niman from Finland, and again from India, a reception report from Seema Paul. Thank you, Seema, Sixten, and Anand. And we've received so many emails from around the world, which I mention some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Muzaffar Rahman from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Alan Willey, one of our old and regular listeners from Canada, has sent us an email. And here we've received an email from Sherry Paul Garg from India, from Malaysia. Muhammad Brial, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. And we've received an email from Finland from Kari Virtanen. After a short break, I will be back with these emails. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program, and Muzaffar Rahman, as I said, has sent us an email. Muzaffar Rahman is from Bangladesh, so let's see what he says. Greetings from Bangladesh. Hopefully you are safe and doing well during the COVID-19 pandemic situation. I am also fine by the grace of Almighty God. Due to some unavoidable circumstances, I was not able to continue my DXing in last couple of years. As a result, I have not updated frequency chart of your broadcast. So a request to you, please send me an updated broadcast frequency chart as well as some souvenir of IRIB English Radio. And by the way, do you have any social media group for listeners? If so, please add me to the group. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Muzaffar Rahman from Bangladesh, and please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email. We wish you all the best. We hope that you're safe and sound and you're fine in the time of pandemic, as you said. Of course, by the grace of Almighty God. Thank you for sending us this email, Muzaffar Rahman from Bangladesh. And as for your request about sending you the updated broadcast frequency chart, as you may know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio at the time of pandemic is not possible. So for receiving updated broadcast frequency chart, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/EN, and there you can find the updated broadcast frequency chart of IRIB English Radio. For the time being, please accept our EQSL card or electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Muzaffar Rahman from Bangladesh, thank you. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon, and of course hearing your views about the programs of IRIB English Radio. And Alan Willey from Canada, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Alan says, "Dear staff of IRIB English Radio, once again, greetings from Newfoundland, Canada. Here is a few reception reports attached of IRIB shortwave broadcast as monitored here in Newfoundland since the beginning of the new A22nd broadcast schedule. Hope they will be verified from your site. Good wishes and thank you for the hard work." First of all, salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran, and IRIB English Radio to you, Alan Willey from Canada. And accept our warm gratitudes for sending us this email. So you're a regular listener and you send emails to us once in a while, and that's great. Alan Willey from Canada, why don't you tell us your views about our broadcast? Why don't you tell us which program or programs you like the best? Yes, we are waiting for them, Alan Willey. We wish you all the best. Yes, please accept our best wishes to you for sending us this email. So after a short break, I will be back with an email from India from Sherry Paul Garg. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Sherry Paul Garg, as I said, has sent us an email. Sherry Paul Garg is from India. He or she says, "Greetings from all of us here in North Indian state of Punjab. I'm writing to you after a long time. Hope you will respond. Please add my address and email ID to your mailing list so that I can receive your published material and emails regularly. I like your programs very much, and I have found your website informative, especially news analysis and photo gallery sections. Salam and warm greetings to you, Sherry Paul Garg from India, and many thanks for sending us this email. And thank you for letting us know your views about you know, our programs and our website, as you found it very informative, and especially you like news analysis and photo gallery sections in our website, and that's great. Thank you for the compliments. Sherry Paul Garg, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. And from Malaysia, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, Muhammad Riel. Muhammad says, "Dear sir or madam, warm greetings from tropical Malaysia. Your broadcast engineers may be interested to know that the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting was heard well in this region of Southeast Asia. You will note my reception report of this transmission in this email, which I found correct. I would appreciate a QSL card or an electronic QSL card from IRIB. If neither is available, a verification letter will suffice as well. I look forward to your email acknowledging this report and hope your verification will be forthcoming, inshallah. Thank you very much." Salam and warmest greetings to you at this hot month of the year. Of course, in Malaysia, as you said, warm greetings from tropical Malaysia. I think Malaysia is just located north of the equator, and the weather, I think, is equatorial. It is hot, humid, and rainy in Malaysia. Yes, it is a type of tropical weather. So the temperature must be very high in Malaysia at this time of the year. So please accept our warm, and hot salam and greetings to you in this hot, season of the year in your region, which is, equatorial. The weather is equatorial. Wish you all the best, Muhammad Riyal from Malaysia. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a verification. Of course, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Muhammad Riyal, our old and regular listener from Malaysia. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Kari Virtanen from Finland. Stay with us, please. Here from one email received from Muhammad Riyal from Malaysia, from a very tropical region. We traveled to the northern hemisphere to Kari Virtanen from Finland, which I think in Finland the weather must be cool. Kari Virtanen says, "My name is Kari Virtanen, and listening to foreign radio stations is my most favorite hobby. Last week, I heard your station here in Finland. I have attached the reception report of your frequencies and also three audio clips. I would appreciate very much if you could verify what I have heard. I thank you very much in advance. Kind regards and hoping to hear from you soon." Salam and warm greetings to you, Kari Virtanen from Finland, and thank you very much for sending us this email. So, you listen to foreign radio stations around the world, and this time you heard IRIB English Radio in your region, and we are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region and in your country, in Finland. Yes, we received your reception report and also the audio clips. Thank you for them. Write to us soon and be our old and regular listeners. Kari Virtanen from Finland. Wish you all the best. In your upcoming emails, Kari Virtanen, tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. After a short break, I will be back again. So it's time for saying goodbye, but before that, I again send my appreciations and gratitudes to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails, including Muhammad Riyal from Malaysia, Shiri Paul Gark from India, Alan Willey from Canada, Muzaffar Rahman from Bangladesh, Sima Paul from India, Sixten Niman from Finland, Anand Mohan from India, and Kari Virtanen from Finland. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. Have a good time and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
The morning gatherings have been underrated everywhere. Perhaps westernified people call us the nation of tears, and maybe people closer to us cannot understand why a drop of tear can have such high reward or a morning session to carry such exalted weight. From the political aspect, these prayers, elegies, and attention to Allah direct men's attention to one thing, and that is they mobilize the nation in favor of an Islamic objective.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the Muharram and the Ashura. In one of his speeches, he says that the Islamic revolution in Iran is but a ray of light reflected from the Ashura and its great divine revolution. This is one of those famous sayings that Imam Khomeini had. And in other words, he said that whatever we have is from Ashura. Whatever we have, it is the fruit of Ashura. It is from Ashura. And in reality, we have seen that, yes, it was because of Ashura. It was because of the teachings of the Ashura that were in the nation, that were given to the nation, the Iranian nation, because they have learned lessons from the teachings of Ashura, from the teachings of Karbala, from the teachings of Muharram. Therefore, they were able to raise against the oppression. They were able to raise against the superpowers of the world, the so-called superpowers, who opposed the war for 8 years on this nation. And even in today's world, we can see there are many, many sanctions which are opposed on this nation, but we see the victory of this nation. We see advancements in this nation. This is all because of Ashura. And this is what Imam Khomeini said, that he said that the Islamic revolution, the revolution in Iran, it is nothing but a ray of light reflected from the Ashura.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala,
صلى الله عليه يا رسول الله
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله.
In the land of Karbala, on the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein has sacrificed everything for the sake of Islam. Similarly, this nation, this Islamic revolution, is giving everything in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is sacrificing everything for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wherever we see such actions, wherever we see such movements, these movements live along. These movements live along. Why? Because they are connected to a divine. They are connected to God. And because God is unlimited, He is forever. Therefore, anything that gets connected to God or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes for forever. The people, they remember it, they get lessons from it. And the Islamic revolution in its true way has proven that when someone follows the teachings of Ashura, it becomes victorious. It becomes victorious. It becomes a slogan of truthful. And we have seen that in today's world, even when we talk about the truth, we refer to the Islamic revolution of Iran. Thanks for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
In Britain, an expert group has declared an official drought amid a prolonged dry spell, meaning water rationing may take place in England. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian's environment reporter Helena Horton. The piece is titled Drought Declared Across 8 Areas of England. Drought has been declared across wide swathes of England after a meeting of experts. The prolonged dry conditions, with some areas of the country not receiving significant rainfall all summer, have caused the National Drought Group to declare an official drought in 8 areas of England. The Environment Agency has moved into drought in 8 of its 14 areas: Devon and Cornwall, Solent and South Downs, Kent and South London, Hertfordshire and North London, East Anglia, Thames, Lincolnshire and Northamptonshire, and the East Midlands. Documents seen by The Guardian show the Environment Agency expects a further two areas will move into drought later on in August. These are Yorkshire and West Midlands. The group met earlier this summer to discuss the lack of rainfall and decided to put the country in prolonged dry weather status, the first of four emergency dry weather stages, and one step before drought. Now the country has been tipped into that second stage. This means water rationing may take place across England, with fewer barriers for water companies who wish to ban customers from using hose pipes and washing the car with tap water. More severe measures can also be put in place at this stage, including banning the use of sprinklers, the cleaning of buildings, vehicles and windows. So far this year, hose pipe bans have been implemented by Southern Water and South East Water. Welsh Water will implement a ban from 19th of August and Yorkshire Water from 26th of August. Thames Water has already said it is ready to go with a hose pipe ban. Those in the meeting were shown harrowing statistics about England's food security. Half of the potato crop is expected to fail as it cannot be irrigated, and even crops that are usually drought tolerant, such as maize, have been failing. The group of experts was told irrigation options are diminishing, with reservoirs being emptied fast, and losses of between 10% and 50% are expected of crops including carrots, onions, sugar beet, apples and hops. Milk production is also down nationally due to a lack of food for cows, and wildfires are putting large areas of farmland at risk. British farmers are deciding whether to drill crops for next year, and there are concerns that many will decide not to, with dire consequences for the 2023 harvest. The government was keen to stress the essential water supplies for households are not at risk at the moment. Water Minister Steve Double said, "We are currently experiencing a second heat wave after what was the driest July on record for parts of the country. Action is already being taken by the government and other partners, including the Environment Agency, to manage the impact. All water companies have reassured us that essential supplies are still safe, and we have made it clear it is their duty to maintain those supplies." The group contains representatives from water companies, the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, DEFRA, the Environment Agency, the National Farmers Union, NFU, Natural England, CCW, Ofwat, Water UK and the Drinking Water Inspectorate, as well as the Angling Trust and the Rivers Trust. While previous dry summers have been offset by wet autumns, meaning the worst effects on water supply have not hit, those present at the meeting were told that was unlikely to be the case this year, with arid conditions predicted to continue due to climate breakdown. Slides from the Environmental Agency say an increased chance of warm conditions through August to October is consistent with an increased westerly flow from warmer than average seas and our warming climate, with a typical northwest wetter to southeast drier gradation in rainfall. Most likely, there are no strong signals for a significant amelioration of current dry conditions. Catherine Sefton, a hydrologist at the UK Centre for Ecology and Hydrology, said, in the southeast of England, the continued dry weather means that many river flows remain notably or exceptionally low, and hydrological forecasts suggest this situation will persist over the next few months. Where river flows are supported by groundwater that recharges during the winter months, the impact of dry weather is reduced, but a continuation of below-average rainfall into a second winter would likely result in serious hydrological and environmental drought. With further intensification of the water supply, restrictions and fish rescues that are starting to see in the southeast. The last time a drought was announced was in 2018. Though research has not yet been conducted to determine whether this year's drought was caused by climate breakdown, the dry conditions and extreme heat in 2018 were found by the Meteorological Office to have been made 30 times more likely by climate change. There have been 5 consecutive months of below average rainfall across all geographical regions in England and above average temperatures. River flows, groundwater levels and reservoir stocks are decreased during July. 13 Environmental Agency monitored indicator rivers are at the lowest levels ever recorded, and soil moisture deficit is comparable to that seen at the end of the 1976 drought. Scotland and Wales have similar drought reaction groups, which are also understood to be meeting this summer after drier than usual conditions.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am,
yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite for you a beautiful hadith and narration which has been narrated from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This hadith is about the remembrance of God, dhikrullah. You know, as you know, we are in the month of Muharram. The month of Muharram is a very sacred and solemn month. And for that, we would like to offer our condolences to our esteemed listeners on this beautiful month. In this month, not only is it important for us to commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein in the sense of taking part and by way of taking part in the various mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, and crying for Imam Hussein, weeping for him and his loyal companions and his family. But it's also important and very imperative for us to remember the message of Imam Hussein and the reason why he stood up and he began his uprising. And also the wisdom that he imparted to us in general terms. And an instance of this is this very beautiful hadith that we will recite for you. As we said, this hadith is about the remembrance of God, zikrullah. Zikr, or the remembrance of God, is one of those very important and central Islamic virtues. You know, in fact, one could say that it is of the most primary importance. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said the following regarding dhikr, or the remembrance of God. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَلَّ ذِكْرُ مَا خَلَقَ الْإِبَادِ إِلَّا لَيَعْرِفُوهُ. God Almighty, He created the creation in order that the creation might know Him, might remember Him, might understand Him. فَإِذَا عَرَفُوهُ عَبَدُوهُ. This knowledge, this understanding, which is in fact a remembrance, because we believe that the knowledge of God is something embedded within us. It's natural to us, natural to human beings, right? If we forget God, if we do not recognize Him, it's because there is something preventing our human nature from blossoming. It's only necessary for us to remove those barriers and hindrances so that our nature can blossom and we can understand God, recognize Him or remember Him. This remembrance or understanding or recollection of God, it leads to His worship. When we worship God, or when creatures worship Him, right, they become free of the need for other people, other human beings, other things besides God. فَإِذَا أَبَدُوهُ إِسْتَغْنَوْا بِإِبَادَتِهِ أَنْ إِبَادَتِهِ مَا سِوَاهُ. Right? They no longer need to worship anything else. They no longer need to seek the help or assistance of anything else besides God. They become free and independent of all other things. True freedom, both spiritually and in a worldly sense as well. This beautiful hadith has been narrated in the famous book of hadith Biharul Anwar of Allama Majlisi, volume 5, page 312. And it is the first hadith in that section. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the recognition and remembrance of God and its role in the freedom of an independence of an individual. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa
آل محمد.
This is The Spotlight.